gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Ding dong, ding dong.
There's fastballs been throwing and launch angles going and balls out the stadium.
It's the most wonderful time
of the year until football. What's up? It's In This League.
That's right here. We promise no more singing this show.
Yeah, well, I don't promise.
Not ever.
That's from Bogman.
This show.
Yeah, well, that's from Bogman. I give no promise of that. What's up? This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. That's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welch. Thank you for joining in on this three-hour edition of our wonderful, beautiful show right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Are you listening online? Are you? Is that what you're doing? That's good. Go get the app. It's completely free. You can listen to us or any of the great shows here on the network. Completely free, 24 hours a day, right at your mobile device. So go download the free Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, or you can obviously listen to us, which you're probably doing, fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio. And if you miss any of it, if you're only going to be here for an hour and you're like, well, if there's going to be more singing like that, I need more, well, then you should listen on demand, fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio, and you'll find the on-demand stuff, or it's on iTunes as well. If you search In This League, you will find it all. We do so much stuff. Bogman and the Welsh, and you can find us on Twitter at isitthewelsh, at Bogman Sports. Yes, baseball is here. As you are listening to this, there are balls being hit by bats. There might be people being hit by balls.
There are all kinds of balls and bats everywhere, and we went to opening day for the Arizona Diamondbacks last night. It was a great, great time. It was, I might say, so much fun, the Welsh.
I would say your portrayal of what it was is correct.
So much fun.
So much fun. Opening day is so much fun. I caught myself in my my day job just aggressively. You know that meme of the cat like pounding the computer, or like the monkey,
the keyboard cat.
Yeah, or you get the one that the monkey, then he throws the computer. All I was trying to do, because I didn't have MLB.tv set up. Well, I don't even have it, which I need to have it. I don't know what my problem is. I need to get it. But
I had a problem with that.
Yeah, you did. Oh, yeah, you had to call. But like ESPN had a bunch of games on. Like, they were streaming a few, and I couldn't get it to work. And I was like, "Boys, it's working. I've got to watch the games. I got to watch the Cubs." And I
go to your home ball.
But it's incredible. Opening day, they did it right this time. Though, a little early. I don't know. Like, I talked to a couple people that I was like, "Yeah, I'm going opening day today." And they're like, "To what?" I'm like, "To baseball." And they're like, "It's opening day baseball?" I'm like, "Yeah, no, it's March, you know, March 29th or whatever the hell the day is."
Yeah, it's better than starting the year in Australia like they did a couple years back. I don't like
fair point.
I don't like the starting in Japan, starting in Australia. Like, go and play games there, but
you just
want spring training.
You want to play inside of a wall, you're saying. You want inside of this country. Maybe a wall.
No,
is
Canada's okay too.
You play in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. I don't care where they play the games. Like, I actually
except
that.
If it's anywhere not in North America, or
no,
be South America.
No. I don't care where they play the games. Like, I love the World Baseball Classic, but when it's in the middle of our regular season, right? I don't want them to be going across. And see, this is the thing. Like, so they play a couple regular season games. In whatever country, and then they have to, so they go and they stay there and they adjust to the time, and then they play the two games or whatever it is, and then they come back and they readjust to the time, and then they play more spring training games, and then they go into the rest of the regular season. Well, then how do us fantasy nerds treat those games? Like, do you want them in your season? Do you want to just not count them because they're so early? You want your draft to be later? Like,
why can't
we
just
do
exhibition
those?
Games in other countries?
That's what I'm saying. Just do, you know, World Baseball Classic and exhibition. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. Well, guess what?
Let's do it.
We're all here. And the thing they did right was it was all at once. They didn't like span them out. But of course, then games are like canceled. Like the Reds in Washington, boom. rained out. We're not going to even play on opening
day. I have a pet peeve with that too, the Welsh. I'm very complainy today. I don't know why I'm complaining so much. Great. It's opening day. Baseball is going on. The Diamondbacks won yesterday. I'm excited about baseball,
but
also, why are we having all these rain delays and snow delays and stuff? Every single game in the month of March and April should be played, you know, like below the Mason-Dixon line in the south where it's warm, or in a dome stadium. One of those two options. We don't need games to be going off in New York or in Boston or Baltimore or, you know, the Northeast, where the Nor'easters were just hitting and blowing snow all over the place a week ago. We don't need any of that. Start them in the South. Everybody go to L.A. and San Diego and Arizona to start the season.
It's a fair point. It was in my car today, 93 degrees.
Yes.
93 degrees midday. I went hiking, and it was like 85.
I was in my car not hiking, and it got to 89 in mine. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's hot, so let's not deal with all the winter stuff. But regardless of all that. Opening day, magnificent, all the stuff that goes on. Ian Happ, the grumpiest human being on the planet with the biggest sourpuss face, never smiles at anything. Grumpy Happ, that's his name, just remember it. Grumpy Happ started the day off with a leadoff homer. Boom, leadoff homer.
This is another meme, like Grumpy Cat.
Yeah.
Except it's Grumpy Happ.
I'll tell you. I'm trying to incept people, and I think I'm doing a good job. I'm trying to incept the idea that whenever you think of Ian Happ, you see a frown. That's all that you can see. You can only see a frown, because even then, even when he hit that homer, there's no smile. I saw him giving high fives in the dugout. Scowl angry in that dugout.
What do you think Ian Happ would be doing if he wasn't playing baseball? Like making skin lamps?
Possible. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to
think. He might be a psychopath.
Not even that, but like, what's a good grumpy job? I'm trying, like a toll. He'd work like
garbage
the toll
man.
Booth. He'd do a toll booth over like, you know, some New York bridge. Right?
You don't think those guys have a great uplifting job?
There's probably a guy. It's the same idea. Well, so we'll talk about this. We went to opening day. It's the same idea to me of the vendors. You know, the guys that are walking around, they're like, hey,
beer, beer.
Like most of the guys, like I would say more than half of them are just like, wants a beer, beer, you know, and they're just like doing their thing. And there's a couple guys that are excitable. And then we
Lemonade like Nana.
Lemonade like grandma made.
You
know you want it. That guy, I don't know what his name is, by the way. He's just the lemonade grandma made guy.
The lemonade guy, yeah.
He won. Didn't he win last year the number one,
I think
vendor?
It was last year. Might have been 2 years ago, but they did, a March Madness bracket of all of the best vendors. I think there was a singing hot dog guy in Detroit. There are a couple other ones. I mean, I don't know the vendors. They don't get baseball cards.
Yeah,
so
they should though. So because the whole point was last night he came near our section and I was like, oh my, I do tell, Mr. Beauregard, isn't that the lemonade guy? And I kept looking. I stopped watching the game for a minute and I kept looking at him and I was like, do the thing, do the thing. I'm waiting for you. He didn't do the thing. I think he maybe did it once.
Yeah,
kind of disappointing.
He'll do it. Like, I think he does it when he has a full card, and he also came by our section like really late. And to be honest with you, to walk up to where we were sitting,
That's why I was shocked where he was, where we were.
By the way, how are there any vendors that don't have six pack abs and just gigantic legs from walking all over the? How can you walk all those steps every single game and not be skinny?
The only thing is they might, like, the people that are giving them all the food just must not track it, because those guys must be just pounding hot dogs, pounding
free lemonade
beers
and hot dogs and all that stuff. Is that what you're saying?
It's the only way. going up the stairs where we were, I was like legit like, all right, I've been working out lately, but this is a problem. Like, this is a problem. I'm not getting up anymore. And I paid like 12 times more to get a smaller beer so I didn't have to move during the game.
Oh, we're paying for Granky. I tell you that much. That's,
oh, my God.
You know, the owners are not paying for Granky. We're paying for Granky. The beer, soda went up $2. Beer went up a little bit.
Parking was up $8.
Oh my, I paid $30 for parking last
night. Unbelievable. Just this is the complaint hour. Though, I will tell you. So, it was great because
even though we won and baseball is back and everything's great, we'll still find a way.
I can't imagine what I spent last night. I don't want to look at my credit card bill because I had a couple beers and some fries and a little pizza and all that.
What I do like about that is that I pay for everyone's opening day tickets like a month and a half in advance. And then I get the money when we get to opening day.
And then
so it's like
loaded.
Not spending any money. Yeah.
I mean, whatever like helps you sleep at night, if that's what makes you comfortable. Okay.
Yep.
The best thing, though, because we were the final game of the night. I think the Indians and Mariners ended like an hour and a half before we ended. And all the things throughout the day, we'd experience, you know, good pitching performances, awesome homers. We're going to talk about it in this show, by the way, today. We've got a ton to cover. We're going to be talking about the weird lineup stuff we saw. We're going to be talking about good, bad opening days. We've got some football stuff, all of that. So we got the full experience, all of us did, on opening day. But we, personally, as Diamondback fans in Arizona, got an incredible experience. It was around the it was late in the third inning, and the game was at a snail's crawl, by the way. And we were shocked that it happened so early. We got a streaker run onto the field. Now, let me set the play-by-play. Like, I wish I had the video. I did take a couple pictures. If I had the video, you would have to put, like, Jim Ross, like, oh, my God! It was great. So this guy, everyone had kind of calmed down because the first inning was a little bit explosive and then it got kind of boring.
Yeah, Diamondbacks scored a bunch of runs in the first. DJ LeMahieu had that bomb in the first, so
So we're sitting there and then all of a sudden the crowd explodes. We look down right past between third base and right field, left field. You have got a guy who took off his shirt. He did have black shorts.
He's like
on.
In his boxers, it looked like.
Yeah, maybe. That probably was. Probably boxers. And he is booking it across the field. And, I mean, I had a couple in me, so I couldn't be more excited. I'm to my feet excited. This guy is running the play, because I was like, why did the play stop? And there's a cop just never going to get him chasing. There's a guy coming from, like, the outfield over, and then the guys from over at first base, they're huddling in towards right field. So what the guy does is he runs in the most electric move I've ever seen in my life by a streaker. He didn't like pull off his shorts and dangle. He ran from third to second and slid into second
base.
Like
the wrong way into second.
It was a great slide. A-plus slide.
It was good.
It was really, really good slide. Then he gets up and then one of the cops is coming close to him and he puts on... Like, I mean, give
Barry Sanders juke move.
It was Barry Sanders. I mean, I was going to say like Lev Bell, like a current running back. But it was like Barry Sanders moves on this guy. And this cop just to the ground. He broke this guy's ankle so bad with this
guy's
move.
Less athletic in the combine.
It was incredible, right, dude. But he the move was so electric that he lost his balance and he ran about 6 to 7 yards just trying to catch himself. Then he hit the ground, and then five cops jumped on top of him, and he was carried out. But to huge cheers, it made the feeling of the rest of the game electric after that happened. I was so jazzed up because we had, a little bit of drinking before the game, and then right at the beginning of the game, we're at it. And I was like, we were wearing down a little bit because I think like it took an hour to get into the first inning. This guy had clearly been there since 3 p.m. He made the game amazing slide, electric juke move on the cop.
Yeah, that's what I said, boom. Too. I was like, man, it's a third inning and we're already getting streakers. Like, this guy must have started early today. And he did, and the Welsh was very excited. But that juke move was very, very sick. I bet it was probably the most athletic thing that happened in the game the whole day.
It's a great point. That's a great point.
Well, Nick Ahmed had a pretty good double play.
By the way, what do you think? I mean, I'd love to hear from anybody that went out on opening day today, by the way, too, because
I'd like to hear from anyone who has streaked in a major league stadium.
I'd like to get that person on the show. If you've ever streaked, please let me know. And you have to be truthful.
We need proof, AMAs. We have to see your arrest record and
proof
fines and all that
stuff. Yeah, exactly. That's right. But I wonder anyone who's been to an opening day, especially this year, like the experience of like how is when baseball's working towards so much, to try to make things better, they're trying to well, they're attempting to try to boost the speed of the game. You know, the Diamondbacks, we'll talk about it.
The opening day in Detroit today was 5 hours long.
But see, that's kind of where I'm going with this. The Diamondbacks, you know, they've implemented the bullpen cart. You know, there's all these things that are trying to go on to make the game more a little bit more electric. But the games are still taking long, and the teams every year are increasing the prices on everything. I mean, take the... I don't know if you followed this at all, Bogdan. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit when we come back on the other side of this break as well. But you've got the situation that happened with Marlins man. Marlins man,
yeah.
Who, you know, the whole issue with Derek Jeter, they were raising the prices. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But the Marlins were raising prices. That's...
How are you going to raise the prices when you gave away all the players?
There's no way. That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard.
Why would you pay to go... see the Marlins
I wouldn't play. Pay it for half of the price. I mean, that's insane. No. But then you get even the teams like the Diamondbacks, and I know there's an opening day inflation, but I mean, I've never seen the parking as expensive. The food was outrageously expensive. Every moment, I went without my kids going with my friends. I mean, I had to have spent $120 maybe. I bought a hat. I had some fries, had some beers. I mean, it was astronomical, and MLB is always looking at themselves and being like, well, how do we get these guys to the stadiums, you know, with fantasy? How do we get these guys and more people to the stadiums? Make it more friendly, you know, maybe make it a tad bit more affordable. I don't remember what the team was. There's one team, I don't know, it's the Cardinals or the Pirates or something, that is making all children under 9 free the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to go about it. They just got to make, like in the NBA, it's ridiculous, but MLB too. You're going to fill the stadium, and more people are going to buy stuff if you make it just a little bit more cheap.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, well, we will be back. We have got more opening day. We've got more of the rest of fantasy baseball and the real baseball season that's going on. We're talking a little bit of football in the second hour as well. So don't go anywhere. This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. We'll be back.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
Welcome back. In This League. That's the show. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh. Those are the hosts. Go to InThisLeague.com if you want to check out all the stuff that we got going on. It's a plethora of podcast network goodness. The In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast, which Bogman and I do 2 times a week. We've got all the latest. We've actually got Steve Gardner coming up on this next episode, so you're not going to miss that. We have got the final episode of the basketball podcast, which we're going to be doing a 2018/19 early mock draft. We do a show called Full 60 with our buddy Joe Pizzapia over for Fantrax. We got a wrestling show that's on the network hosted by Joe Pizzapia. Bogman does NFL draft stuff. I do prospect stuff. We just did a bold predictions for prospects with a whole bunch of great analysts around. So what I'm telling you is InThisLeague.com, a hub of fantasy information, so make sure you go check it out.
I love all the hubs.
All the hubs. Yeah, exactly. The P-Hubs.
I'm a big hub fan.
Any other hubs besides the popular one?
Fake Hub.
Oh, is that one?
That's one.
Is that like
the... Have you ever heard of Fake Taxi?
No. I was going to say, is that like the fake...
You ever heard of Fake Taxi?
What's the thing that people are... What's the buzzword thing that everyone's talking about where people are like generating celebrities' faces on...
Deep fakes.
Okay, so fake... What was the fake hub? Is it like deep fakes?
No. It's like Fake Taxi. You know, where they get a porn star in the
is
back
that like
of
a bang bus?
Yeah. It's like exactly the same thing except for it's in England. Because London is famous for having these...
Wouldn't it be like Trolley Hub?
No, trolley's what they call a shopping cart.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. Okay, so fake taxi. Great, great information for everybody.
Fake
on this
hub.
Weekend.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's like an English version Careful. Of all the stuff, like Bang Bus, like you said, and the back room casting couch and all that stuff.
Okay, great information. Great information right
yeah,
at the top of the
yeah.
Episode.
If you got, I mean, so I've been told.
Yeah, allegedly. Would we say that here? Allegedly. But yeah, go check out all the stuff.
That.
No, you can get hooked up with all the things. Plus, we got an insider program where we do comedy shows. You can talk with us in a GroupMe app. So we'd love to have you. Make this fantasy baseball season the best. And you can do it with Bogman and the Welsh if you'd like. So we got a lot to talk about. But, you know, interesting turn just kind of at the end of the last segment that maybe we could expand on a little bit. Was just our experience. You know, I mean, we had a good time because we drank, you know, and the game was decent, but it was long. It was, I mean, I had to leave it like, I mean, the game was out of hand, but, or it was, you know, Diamondbacks clearly had control, but I left it like the eighth inning or something like that. But dude, it was like 10:45 local time. It had been 3 hours and 45 minutes. It took about 4 hours for the game to end on opening day, and every price is raised astronomically, and it's like we get some of the stuff. It just, to me, when you look at the work that baseball is trying to do to get more butts in the seats, when you go look at how pathetic the Marlins are in that stadium, and they'll never sell out. We were joking. Like, you know, what would be the Marlins sellout? Like, what are the opportunities for a sellout? And we were like, I mean, opening against the Cubs, that's as best as it can get, right?
Yeah. Opening day against the Cubs, you know, the only way it gets better is opening day against the Yankees or Red Sox. So, and that's more of a Tampa Bay thing. Tampa Bay opened up against Boston. I have no idea if they sold out or not.
I'm trying to look here. I want to see what the attendance was, and I can't find it anywhere.
I can find it in a second.
Okay. Yeah, look for that. But, I mean, speaking of the Marlins, so an interesting aspect of the whole thing, because what's so odd is, like, I look at football, and football is fighting the media. The media are the one that are out there being like, oh, you know, it's a dangerous sport, and, you know, concussions, and it's not
31,000 at Tampa Bay. I don't think that's a sellout.
What does it hold? Look for
I mean, I know it's a smaller one, but it's got to hold more than 31,000.
It has to. I'm shocked that it was that many. But you've got, like, and the NFL is fighting the media because it's, you know, it's got bad stigma. And, you know, then there's the ratings talk where it's like, oh, the ratings are down. And the media, the fake news, are creating this drama with football. But Major League Baseball, to me, is fighting the audience and the fans. People don't want to go to games. That's a huge problem. We don't have that problem in football. Huge problem in baseball. Now, obviously, the scope of how many games also plays into it. But you're fighting the fans with complaints of pricing, complaints of the competitive team. The perfect example is Marlins Man. You know, Marlins Man, he loves the Barstool guys, and he went on to talk about it. But it's been pretty well documented that, you know, he called out Derek Jeter. And the most recent thing was, I guess, he sent a $200,000 check to Derek Jeter and the Marlins to, like, it was like a 10-year buy. He wanted to buy his tickets at a discount over 10 years, and they rejected it, and they wanted more. They wanted, it was like, if I remember correctly, it was like $245 like per game, per seat or something like that. And he wanted them down to like 200, and they would discount them to 235. But this is coming off of a raise. The Marlins asked for a raise off of that team. And it's just, Boggs, it seems disconnected where baseball shouldn't be having this fight like football is having.
No, they really shouldn't. I completely agree with you. Basketball has this problem, too. By the way, the Tropicana Field holds 42,735.
That will be the most attended game this entire season.
Yeah, the 31,000, probably.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way it's any different.
Yeah, they averaged, the most they've ever averaged was the year they opened, of course. But, I mean, that's probably the same way with the Diamondbacks. But, yeah, man, you know, you look at these stadiums, even game two, when everyone is still excited about baseball, and a lot of these games are sparsely attended just because the price is way too much for your average family. You know what I mean? I saw something the other day, just overall in general, the average price of things has raised 30% over the last like 50 years. And the average the average income has raised 10%.
Well, because inflation has continued to rise, and then we went through like an 8-year span or 7 or 5 or whatever it was of nobody getting any raises. Raises were down, money was down, jobs were down. Yeah, absolutely. There's a 20% gap there. That's a pretty big 20% gap between.
That's why 10%? That's why single families don't own homes like they used to in the 50s and 60s. You know,
there's not a great seat everywhere in the ballpark at Chase Field. Because how many does Chase hold?
It holds 70, way 000? More than 41,000. No, not that much. But it holds like 55, I think.
Okay, so 55,000. I wouldn't say there's a great seat everywhere, but there are decent seats. We were high. We were up in the 300s. I mean, we probably had like
48,519.
Okay, that's we probably capacity. Had 15 rows behind us to get to the tippy top, but we were right behind home plate, so we had like fantastic viewpoint. Those tickets weren't cheap. Those were not cheap to sit where we sat.
$40 after all the stupid fees and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's not cheap to sit like almost at the roof, and the inflation is done based on opening day. And that's something that's always bothered me. I don't know if football does this. They probably do. It's because spring training does that, where, you know, if the Cubs come to play, you know, the Diamondbacks, the tickets go through the freaking roof. Everywhere goes through the roof when a specific team comes in and they take opening day and the tickets go ballistic. It's almost like counterintuitive. Like, I don't know. If you go look at that bill, are you dying to go back when you can watch the game? Or MLB.TV, you can access all the games right at the tip of your fingers.
Well, I actually love going to baseball games. Baseball games are my favorite sport.
I think that's
a
dying pastime, though.
I like basketball, too. Hockey's fine. I hate, with a fiery passion, going to NFL games.
The worst. They're the worst.
They draw, and I don't know how people like these animals can afford it. Like, if you go to an NFL game, the people are ruining the toilets in there.
They're ruining everyone's experience.
Everybody's drunk and rude. How did you get so drunk when all the alcohol is so expensive in here? A lot of them just get bombed before they go in.
Well, the tailgating, and they're getting completely bombed. You hope you make it out without having to go to the hospital.
Yeah, why would you want to go to an NFL game and not remember anything you just paid $200 to go see? And $200, that is the exact same, like the NFL equivalent of where we just sat, the Welsh. It was $200 the last time the Steelers were in town.
Sure, of course they are. I mean, the NFL is not a family-friendly event. It's not.
No,
baseball,
it's absolutely not.
They want baseball. They design themselves. The Diamondbacks specifically, by the way, are like, we're the most fan-friendly place. You know, I can't imagine what New Yorkers were dealing with. Remember when you were going to go to the All-Star game and you had gone like 4 straight years and then it went to New York and then you looked at the prices and you were like, holy crap.
No, I couldn't go. So the first one I went to was in L.A., Anaheim. It was the Angel Stadium, and it was expensive, but I had a place to stay. My buddy lived there, so we went there, and it cost, you know, I had tickets for like $500. So, and that was for all 3 days, for the Futures game, the Home Run Derby, and the All-Star game. It might have been a little bit more expensive. It might have been $750, somewhere around there. It was $500 here when it was here in 2011. I went in 2012. It was around the same price as like $600, $700 for the tickets. But then, you know, I didn't know anybody in KC, so I had to pay for a hotel and flight and all that stuff. And when I went to Minneapolis, it was basically the same price. And then in Queens, the same crappy tickets were going to be $1,400.
Jesus Christ.
So, it's just the area, obviously, is more expensive.
And there's plenty of people that are going to say, you know, you pay for the experience and whatnot. And I'm not talking about one-offs. I think the All-Star game in general is a different conversation than just the insanity of, I mean, you got to pitch me. Like, if I can get in for free, I can go get media stuff, and I can go in for free, and that's one thing. But I just think, like, I got a family. I'm going to bring my family there. Like, I got to get a small loan. I got to get a small loan for it.
I mean, I'm a single dude. I got to pay for one ticket. So, you know.
It doesn't help.
Your kids can get in for free now, but when they're a little bit older, you know, you're going to have to start paying for tickets.
And
so
it doesn't help when the whole scope of what they're trying to do is make it more palatable and try to jump on the quote NFL's slow decline, and they want to jump in. The Diamondbacks are super smart with doing the bullpen cart, which we love, which we saw it. J.J. Putz came out. He was part of a crew that threw out the first pitch. We love it. They didn't even bring the damn thing out in the first game. They didn't bring it out once. But those are the moves that they're trying to do. They got the mascots and the games, and they like to do lots of giveaways. We don't see that at the NFL. They do all the giveaways.
None of the raffle. I mean, dude, there's a lot of stuff going on. Like, you are not bored in between innings at most baseball games.
But honestly, none of it helps, because I can sit now and I can have my laptop, my iPad, I can have another computer and my phone, and I could have every game going on right at my home, spend $20 on food, go get some Uber Eats or something like that, and it is 1/20th the price.
You're just describing the best type of day.
The best day ever. And by the way, the most important thing,
food comes to you.
The network that we're on here is, there's no damn cell service in any stadium I've ever been to. I can access all of my fantasy. I can see what's going on. I can get all the latest news. I can update my stuff. It's all right there. I'm really questioning why are people going to baseball games. I love opening day. The experience is cool. You get to say it. It's almost like a trendy thing. You know, it's like ooh, you know, I'm gluten free, and it's like, ooh, I went to opening day.
You probably never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like somebody. It's like, I don't drink Starbucks. You know, I go to the local brewery. You know, that's like that type of thing. Like, oh, I went to opening day. Oh, you went to the fifth game of the season. Ooh, poor person.
Fifth game of the season. No, I was there when they started.
It's just a status symbol, and it doesn't mean anything to me. And but I see all this stuff.
It's not my favorite day of the year. Like, that's why I love going, because it absolutely is. Like, I'm not a big fan of my birthday. Like, whatever, my birthday. Like, I treat opening day like my birthday. Like, this is my day. It's a lot of fun. I'm gonna go there.
Stuff your face.
I'm gonna drink a little bit. I'm gonna eat some horrible food. It's gonna be a great day.
I will tell you though, the guy going on the field though, it's still my favorite thing. Breaking it down though, how much better was his, this is a complete 180 I'm doing, but how much better was the streaker in the Diamondbacks game at sliding than Chase Anderson was?
He should get some lessons from the streaker. I think
did that guy get a concussion?
I don't think he had a concussion. I think, you know, that's one of those things that you're just embarrassed.
That was embarrassing.
You did something really stupid. I don't know if you guys saw it. You should just go on Twitter and, you know, look up Chase Anderson sliding. And it was absolutely embarrassing. He did not need to slide either. And he wound up whacking his head right off the ground.
It was great.
Ugh.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Whacked it right off right there, Bogman.
That's right.
Yeah.
Whacking on off. Go over to your fake hub.
Yeah, go to your fake taxi.
Give yourself a concussion.
If you got a take, you can tweet us. Is it the Wes Bogman Sports? You know, and anything we said, that was more of a rant. It just made me think. I had the whole, you know, the Marlins man stuff in my head.
The NBA is even worse to me, because the NBA, like, it's $150 to sit in the lower bowl, regardless. Like, to go see a Suns game, it's $150. The Suns are the worst team in the NBA right now.
The worst.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's way, way too expensive. And when you watch NBA games, like, you should look at a bad team right now at the end of the year. Go turn on, you know, a Sacramento Kings game. And there are, well, for other reasons, obviously, but there are like 17 people in the lower bowl.
Dude, we talked about this on the basketball podcast. It was like the Nets or something that put out a roster. And I was just like, I would be infuriated if I went.
Imagine all that, too. That's in Brooklyn. So
I mean, that's,
if you don't live close,
you probably paid $50 for parking, or you had to take the train, and your tickets were probably out your ass. I mean, you probably walked away even in crappy seats. I was about to say a word I can't say in here. Even in crappy seats, you probably didn't walk out with less than, you know, $400 or $500 bill.
Exactly. So why wouldn't you just stay home and watch it on your Wi-Fi? Yeah, you know what I mean?
I mean, I'm trying to argue, too, that fantasy baseball is one of the best fantasy sports. To me, it's my favorite sport. I mean, one of isn't a good phrase to say, by the way, because there's not that many. There's only a certain amount. But to me, fantasy baseball is the best of all the baseball or all of the fantasy sports games. I like
fantasy
football.
Baseball is the best baseball.
It's the best baseball. Fantasy baseball, I like it over fantasy football. I like it over basketball. I'll take year-long fantasy baseball over even DFS, and I know there's a lot of DFS guys. So I want baseball to continuously succeed. I want them to stop changing every rule about them, but like I don't want to go to games. It's too expensive.
You don't like limited mound visits? No. I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's fine, but it still doesn't do much. All right. Well, when we come back, we are going to talk some. We're going to talk some fantasy. We're going to talk about some of the implications of what we got from opening day, a la day two as well. If we get some, you know, some new lineups that got set, because there was some lineup weirdness. There was a lot of weird stuff that we saw going on. Is it this time of year where managers are tinkering a bit at the beginning of the season, trying out different lineups? We saw Otani in playing in the first game, and we saw some weird players that were batting in spots that, what the hell were they doing there? Spoiler alert, you had Chris Davis leading off and a guy like Trey Turner not leading off. That's not okay. So we're going to talk about those things and more, so don't go anywhere. This is In This League. That's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welsh. More complaining, more ranting, and more fantasy coming up.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
It's In This League.
You know my name, but who are you?
Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
I was always kind of partial to
In This League.
Actually,
do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
It's a Christmas movie because it's the most wonderful time of the year. That is baseball starting up. Baseball is here. We're going through a lull, man. I mean, if you're not a basketball person, you have been struggling for a little bit.
Struggling.
It has been a rough go of it. Football is out. I mean, you've had lots of news, but you need human-to-human contact is what I'm trying to tell you. You needed baseball contact.
Why are you saying that to me?
I'm not inferring anything. Are you?
It sounds like you're inferring stuff.
You got human contact. The contact Bogman made last weekend at a wedding. There are videos all around. Bogman was, what's the saying they say? Two sheets to the wind? You were like
three
eight.
Sheets to the wind.
Okay. Yeah, I was a number short. You were about eight sheets to the wind in a great way. And Bogman was cutting a rug with some human contact out on the dance floor. And the video is perfect.
I don't dance, but when you're at a wedding and the bride asks you to dance, you dance. I mean, that's just what it is. It doesn't matter how big of a dickhead you look like. I mean, that's just how it goes.
Yeah. When you see Randy Jackson, you're not going to not get his autograph.
You're not going to not get Randy Jackson's autograph. That is absolutely correct.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. So it's a beautiful thing. I love having it this baseball weekend, this first weekend, as you kind of get you got to also get the rust out. You got to get your lineup set. You got to, obviously, baseball, it's a little bit more of a run because.
You got a lot of references here, fella.
Yeah?
Got to knock the cobwebs off. Get the rust out. You got to knock that thing out of the park when you can. You got to get the poison out of the snake.
One foot out of the other. Get out of the house and make something of your life. That's what I'm telling you. No,
make a couple bad decisions.
Hey,
that's all I'm saying.
Whatever you got to do. It's opening day. That's what they want you to do is make a couple bad decisions, like run on the field. But what I'm saying is like you got to get that rust out with setting your lineups, because baseball, it's a little bit more like you can go in, you can set your lineup for the week. But if you really want to get rocking, you got to monitor it day by day, because what's happening at this point of the season, and I guess it's always there. And I feel like there's this like mental fog we have as the season starts. I forget that this happens. But April is kind of this like this just little building tool for managers. to screw around with lineups. They're going to mess around. Guys that should be in the lineup on opening day, they're not there. Yeah, guys that shouldn't be, they're playing. Guys that, why are you in this part of the order? I drafted you, your fantasy value was kind of locked to where you were going to hit in the order, and now you're hitting, you know, sixth. This can be a problem. It doesn't mean it's the end of the day, but that's what's happening. So getting the rust off, getting it all figured out, making sure you know the times and you can get your lineup set. And that leads to what we've seen over the last couple days. Obviously, we're not going to talk about today because there's games going on and whatnot. But, you know, Thursday, Friday, opening day, we get to see the first run of what some of these teams are going to do. And there was a lot of weird lineup stuff. And it started with the leadoff position.
Yeah, it did. And you mentioned this before the break, Crush Davis hitting leadoff for the Baltimore Orioles. I despise this move for Crush. Now, look, Crush for me is a zero shares player, but you want a power hitter hitting in the middle of the lineup, not at the top of the lineup. This is kind of like this is like a broke-ass version of Carlos Santana on the Indians, right?
Well, this is what this is. But by the way, the Orioles, the problem with them, and they're just a bunch of meatheads. It's just a bunch of guys that all are swinging for the fences. This was obviously like, we've got to get Chris Davis going early. We've got to see the pitches. You know, pitcher's going to want to come out strong, especially to start the game. We want to get him to see some more fastballs, and we think him leading off is going to be in that spot. You know, some more palatable pitching, because you might have, you know, guys that are, you know, maybe walk behind him, or you got some fast guys that are going to get on base behind him. By the way, he went 0 for 4. He did have a walk, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's I you got to hit him in the middle of the lineup for Crush. I mean, I don't know what else to say about these other guys too. Matt Joyce leading off for the A's. Matt Joyce led off for the A's.
Doesn't surprise
me. And then the next day he's not in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, but see, that doesn't shock me, because Matt Joyce is a high OBP guy, so OBP leaguers might be familiar with Matt Joyce. Though his average is never quite there. I feel like that's the Billy Ball, you know, let's get on base type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but it's just weird to me that you're a leadoff hitter one day, out of the lineup the next day.
I agree.
I thought Denard Span was going to lead off for the Rays, and it's Matt Duffy and his cat.
Well, his cat passed away, didn't he?
Yeah, cat did pass
away. Yeah, that was sad. That was a long-term bit, two years of that bit that that Bogman and I did, where Bogman would fool me. He'd be like, all right, check this link, middle of the show, and then I would click it, and it was a big picture of Matt Duffy's cat.
Skeeter the cat. Yeah, and so seeing Matt Duffy at the top of the lineup is a little bit weird for me too.
Jackson, by the way, I didn't mean to cut you off or move on, but Denard Span, and they've got Malik Smith, and Malik Smith wasn't in the lineup for opening day as well. And then the second game, then they kept Duffy there, and Malik Smith still didn't lead off.
No, Malik Smith was not in the game the second game either, and stuff got weird. Span didn't start either. CJ Cron DH'd instead. Brad Miller played first, and Daniel Robertson was at second, and Ref Snyder was playing in the outfield the next game. So it's kind of like you said, the Welsh, like, things are going to be tinkered with, but some of these moves are going to be permanent. Austin Jackson looks like he's settling in as the leadoff hitter for the Giants right now.
That one's not a surprise, though. I mean, I was surprised that that Austin Jackson had made the team over Steven Duggar. Steven Duggar was one of those late-round guys I was trying to get. I was trying to get on my team because he had a decent year last year. He was good in the Arizona Fall League, a great spring, and I actually thought they would hit him leadoff. So I'm not shocked that the center fielder is hitting leadoff. I'm just a little shocked that it's Austin Jackson, because there's always just a big hole in that bat. You know, he's only a deep league option. Maybe he'll get a handful of stolen bases and a couple homers, but the dude's going to struggle to hit 240.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought it was weird. Like, you look at the Giants lineup, and it seems like it should probably go something along the lines of McCutchen, Panic, Posey, Longoria. But instead they have McCutchen hitting third, which is fine. I mean, he's got more experience hitting third than he does anywhere else, because with Pirates forever, he hit third. But it just seemed like McCutchen would be kind of that leadoff hitter, a guy with, you know, he, not the greatest average the last couple years, but he's known for his average, instead of a guy like Austin Jackson. Like you said, he's going to struggle to hit 240. So you know, why have him
there? You know what I would have liked to seen with the Giants is actually lead off with Panic and put Posey too. So you go Panic, that's Posey, fine. McCutchen, Longoria, Pence, Belt, and then you can put Austin Jackson down at like 7 or 8 or something like that.
Yeah, and I don't mind. I don't mind having Buster at 3. You know, the guy has an incredible average. He could lead the league in batting average at any point.
I wanted Buster at 2.
Yeah, Buster at 2 is fine. Also, I just, just Austin Jackson, I just don't think it's going to last the whole year.
And it's not a great opportunity.
Going to get hurt anyway.
Yeah, probably. It's just, I don't know. You know, if your guy's not getting on base, you know, some of those early RBI opportunities for guys like McCutchen and Posey and stuff, it's a little bit down. Not that there's a big fantasy necessarily effect on it, but it's a little bit less than ideal. But these next two guys, I'm going to just clump them together real quick. These ones are just like, I hope it's tinkering, and I don't understand truly at the end of the day the whole process behind it, unless it was just like, we have very specific players we want over here, so we got to put somebody. But Adam Frazier was leading off for the Pirates, and Leonis Martin was leading off for the Tigers. That one's crazy to me.
Yeah, so starting with Adam Frazier, I was just kind of surprised that he got the start. Now, I know that he's had success against the Tigers a little bit in the past. I believe I was listening to the game on the radio, and they were talking about how he broke up one of Verlander's no-hitters. I think it was Frazier. I could be mistaken there. But, I mean, who else are they going to play? Is Sean Rodriguez the guy?
How about Josh Harrison?
Josh Harrison's playing second, though.
Well, hey, Frazier was DHing.
You're right. Frazier was DHing. So who's in the outfield? It was
Dickerson,
Polanco,
Blanco.
Dickerson. Yeah. That's, you know what? That's what it was. So Frazier's not going to play every day. So
it's going to be hard. It's going to be probably a hard thing for them to sell outside of that ridiculously first game they had, 13-10. And for Frazier, all intents and purposes, he was 3-for-7.
Yeah. I mean, Frazier had a good day, and the dude can hit a little bit, but it's you know, keep Austin Meadows' spot warm for him, we thought, until they got Corey Dickerson. But Leonis Martin, the Tigers, like, who else is going to hit lead? Who do you want to hit lead off for Detroit?
I mean, just like not him. It's a great point. It's a good point. Like, who do you put there? I don't know. There's different
not
players.
Leonis Martin, you say. I mean, I think that's going to stick until, you know, it doesn't. Like until
they bring up Victor Reyes or something like that.
Right. Or Jacoby Jones starts playing in center field every day, something like that. But the rest of the lineup kind of makes sense. You know, Candelario 2, Cabrera 3, Castellanos 4. Let's talk about the big one.
Yeah.
Why is Trey Turner hitting 6 for the Nationals?
I didn't hear. Maybe I missed it. Maybe there's a discussion
third
about it.
Overall pick in a lot of leagues. And it was because he's supposed to steal 60 bases, and now he's hitting 6th.
I mean, this can't be permanent, right?
I can't imagine. How are you going to hit him behind Howie Kendrick?
Dude, but I don't know, man. I mean, you look at it.
Daniel Murphy comes back.
They love Adam Eaton. He's a leadoff guy. That's fine. But then at 2, they went Anthony Rendon. And Rendon, I mean, he's legit. Rendon had a great season last year. I got to be honest with you. It's a great person to get on base leading up to Bryce Harper, but it is a quandary. I mean, I don't care. I know what you said about Kendrick and everything like that, but okay, Turner at 5? This is not ideal. This is completely less than ideal. You got guys on base in front of Turner that might halt stolen base opportunities.
They're just waiting for Murphy to come back. But see, that's kind of what I thought, but it looks like they just put Kendrick in Murphy's spot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They're just like, this is where we're going to hit Murphy, so Kendrick, you're going to hit here.
I mean, Kendrick would be a great number 2. They could go there, but still, that doesn't solve the Trey Turner issue if Adam Eaton is leading off.
His lineup should be Eaton, Turner, Turner, Eaton, right? Any way you want to do it. Like, I think Trey Turner should be hitting leadoff. But if you want to have Adam Eaton hit leadoff, okay, whatever. That's fine.
Even if it's a split, though, Boggs, isn't that a bigger problem? Because, Homer Bailey, hilariously, was the opening day pitcher for the Reds, and he's a righty. So even if it's a split, and they're like, well, Trey Turner's going to get some leading off, okay, but if Adam Eaton is the guy versus righties, that takes if Turner is going to hit six or five every time a righty is in the lineup, Houston, we have a problem. We have a Trey Turner problem. Where, by the way, was there any more of a meteoric rise than Trey Turner in drafts? As soon as the humidor talk happens with Paul Goldschmidt, Trey Turner's now number three. He's now the third overall pick, and your third overall pick is hitting six, where I look at this lineup, and I need to be told, well, how's this going to work out? If this is what they're doing, sell me on how they're going to do something different.
The only thing I can imagine is the lineup all changes when Daniel Murphy gets back. You know what I mean? Like, Murph hits four, Turner goes up to two, then they drop Rendon behind Murph, and then Zimmerman. Zimmerman should be hitting six to me. This lineup to me should go. It should go Turner, and then Eaton, and then probably Murphy three, Harper four, Rendon five, Zimmerman six, and then I don't care after that.
Yeah, I mean, and hey, listen, you know, we might have over this weekend, you might have Turner hit a leadoff spot and whatnot. But my bigger concern I'm starting to talk about here is that, if this is going to be a continual change, I mean, does that change the value? I mean, is that a question? Is that a poll question we have to say? Trey Turner, maybe I should ask that. And we can talk about that.
If Washington came out and said before the season started, no, Trey Turner is our number six hitter. Where does he go in drafts? Because it's not three. 100%, it's not three.
It's not three.
Draft a six hole hitter three overall.
Do you think he falls out of the first round?
I don't think he falls out of the first round because of that gigantic ceiling, which is the reason he's getting drafted so high anyway. But I think that he's more of a 10 pick than a 3 pick.
Okay, so what's the question here? How do I phrase this poll question? Because this is a great one. If Trey Turner hits six, if Trey Turner hits between 5 and 8 this season,
I would just say six. I would say if Trey Turner hits six for the rest of the season, how high can his value go? And it should, your answer should be 1 through 3, 5 through 8, 10+.
Okay, so hold on. So maybe I should just go, first round. Well, first round will be one.
Don't go first round. Go because he's getting picked third overall. I would go 1 through 3 or 1 through 5 if you want to go.
Oh, overall, you're saying.
Overall, right, okay. Right.
I'll say top. I'm going to do this. Top five overall.
Okay.
And then first round.
Okay.
Right.
And then and then second round or lower.
Okay. Second round or
lower. I'm glad you're so fast at typing. I'm glad that you're doing that because I would still be like, so Trey Turner.
So if Trey Turner hits six or between 5 and 8 this season,
his value go?
Okay. How high can
please insert a picture of Tally
value go? Yeah, exactly. All right. In this league pod and then FNTSY. So you guys can look that up if you want. And I'm tweeting there. Top five overall, late first round, second round, let's make sure we're typing right, or lower. That's a question. And we will be we'll be reviewing that for the rest of the show. We'll take a look and see what people have to say, because I think that's a problem. And here's the bigger question. Do you see yourself in the overall scope, though it's kind of a zero shares type of thing? I think both of us with Trey Turner.
I don't have any Trey Turner, yeah.
Do you think the more obvious opinion is going to be to try to buy on him from a perceived lower value? Or do you think the idea is, ooh, maybe I try to trade him right now while I can still get a first round pick?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think people are going to be selling quicker than buying. Because what can you sell Trey Turner for right now? George Springer, would you give him up for Turner right now?
Ooh, man. Out of speculation, probably, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I think I would for speculation, too. But I think there's other people that go, nah, man, I got a leadoff hitter.
I don't think that's the right one. Lineup. I think it's guys like Freeman and Rizzo. I think that's where you're pushing the line. Machado, 10 spots lower. And I think those are the guys that a Trey Turner owner would have to target. Otherwise, it's not worth it. You might as well just kind of hold on to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And it's a difficult situation. Hopefully for Trey Turner owners it changes, but maybe would you trade him for Alex Bregman? How about that, Noel?
Hey, we'll answer that when we come back. We'll be coming back on the other side of this hour, so don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about Trey Turner or Alex Bregman. You can find the poll on my Twitter, Is It the Welsh? And we got a whole bunch more. We got more fantasy baseball, fantasy football coming up, so don't go anywhere. This is In This League right here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.